Good morning. I actually grew up one block down from here. My parents moved from Monticello Drive off of Seneca Turnpike. Anybody know where that is? A few people. And they moved down here to Real Avenue, right one block down. You did? You lived? Oh, you did? Okay. I grew up on Real Avenue, right up the road this way, I believe. And I went to college, and then I hadn't been back there since. But a lot of things changed since then, namely getting married. That'll change your life for the good. So anyway, that's enough of that. Dr. Stumbo, John Stumbo, who was the president of the CMA. How many of you know that he's the president of the CMA? Right. And he, in this course of taking this polity, which has taken a lot longer than I thought it would, I tell you that, I didn't know. If they told me at the beginning, this is going to take you about 9 months to finish this, I might have said, But they didn't tell me, I think, for that reason. But anyway, I'm almost done. He mentioned in the course of several of the lectures that he gave on the in the course of the whole thing that I'm doing, he mentioned this phrase many times, that the CMA is an Acts 1:8 fellowship. He stressed that many times. And if you haven't heard him speak, or I would just recommend, I'm going to throw a quick plug in here. If you haven't heard him speak, get on the CMA website, look up John Stumbo, and take a listen to some of his talks. He will inspire you. I tell you, I just get choked up talking about it. His passion for what he's doing is the most remarkable thing that I've come across. It's just tremendous. How much time do I have? About that? Okay. If you all get up and leave, I'll know I'm done. But I don't think it's going to come to that. So anyway, Acts 1:8, you will receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. This is one of the fourfold gospel tenets of the CMA, which is one of the reasons I was drawn to it in the first place, was Christ the what? Anybody know what they are? Christ, Savior, coming King. Very good. I was drawn to this one in particular for this place. I grew up when I got saved about 18. God was merciful to me. And I got involved in the Pentecostal church primarily. And their understanding of this topic was one that I was taught. Over the years, I've gradually questioned not the intent, but I think the presentation. And I've come to believe over a course of time that this presentation and this understanding of this verse is probably the closest thing to what is biblical that I've come across. Now, it's fine to understand doctrine or to know it in your head, but it's quite another thing to experience it. And I would dare say that generally, brethren in Pentecostal churches, maybe in the CMA churches, I think we know more than we actually practice. Is that possible? We know a lot of things. I know a lot of things. But I've come to realize that I don't practice quite as much as I know. And that's one of the things that's come under the scrutiny in my own life, is are you practicing what you know? Are you actually living out in all areas of your life what you profess to believe? And I've had to be very honest and say, well, in some areas, no. And in fact, in some of these lessons, which are very good in this polity course, I've had to scrutinize myself even more. In fact, my wife was reading one of the things that we had to do the other day, you know, a couple weeks ago, and she said, man, I'm getting blessed just by reading this. This is tremendous. If I look like a lobster, I was out all day yesterday with my grandkids in the water, so that's why my face is so red. My wife said I look healthy, but I'm not so sure about that. But that's anyway, that's why I'm all red. So let's get on with this, okay? Let's go to Let's go to verse 1. I'm going to read the first couple of verses. It says, this is the New King James Version, I believe. There you go. You're going to read. You're going to read these verses. And so there it goes. It's page 882 in your Bible if you want to follow along. Thank you.
In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave this command, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked the Lord, "Are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After this, he was taken up before their eyes, and a cloud hid from them him from their sight. They were looking intently into the sky when he was going, and then suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into the heaven will come back in the same way, and you have seen him come into heaven." Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and James, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers.
Thank you. Anybody know what the former account that he speaks about here in the first verse is? It's the book of what? Book of Luke, that's right. And he ends that chapter telling them to stay in Jerusalem until they receive power from on high, and until they be endued with power from on high, clothed upon. In other words, don't set out and begin to do what I'm telling you needs to be done until you receive this, what he calls in the first chapter of Acts, a baptism of the Spirit. Don't do it. Don't go. You won't be able to do what I'm telling you to do until you receive this enablement. All right? So it says here in the first verse that Jesus began both to do and to teach. Now, if it says he began it, then somebody has to continue it when he leaves. And that is his apostles and those that follow and who get saved as a result of their ministry. They are all to continue what Jesus began. Would you agree with that? They're to continue it. And it says down here, and I'm going to jump ahead and then go back. You don't have to click it, honey. Don't worry about it. In verse 11, I believe, it tells him that he's the same Jesus which was taken up from you in heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go. So Jesus began to do and to teach. The disciples are going to continue it. Then he's going to come back and what? Finish it. So we are in that in-between time of when he left and when he's coming back, and we are to be continuing what he began. And he tells his disciples very plainly what they're going to need to be able to continue to do what he began. Is that correct? Yes, it is. I'm not really asking, is that correct? I already know it is. I'm just kind of doing that to kind of draw you in. Maybe I won't do that too often because it might get annoying. But the idea is we need something. And in the Pentecostal church, and I'm not faulting them when I say this at all, the orientation is, it seems like you have to get this. And then once you get it and you speak in tongues, which is their teaching, then you have it. And then you're seem to be set for the rest of your life. I know many of them don't teach that. You need to be filled again. But the way it's taught used to lead me to that idea that once I get it, I'm kind of set. And that's not the case. Because you see in the book of Acts, they are filled repeatedly. They're filled in chapter 4. Paul was filled more than once. That filled with the Spirit, he began to preach this. And then you see it on many occasions. It's not a one-time thing, but we do need it. But here, now look. Now, how do I want to do this? Let's just keep proceeding. We have to continue what he started. Now he presented himself alive, and after his suffering by many infallible proofs, which we know what they are, he appeared, he disappeared, he ate with them, they touched his wounds, he produced a miracle of fish again in John 21. He did several things where he proved that he was alive and that he was who he was there, except now he's alive forevermore. All that awaited was his ascension and glorification, which we're going to look at in just a few minutes. So he presented himself alive by many infallible proofs. Now for 40 days, which was in verse 3, that's often used in the Bible as a time of testing. Saul and David and Solomon all ruled for 40 years. There were 40 years in the wilderness. Jesus was 40 days in the wilderness. And here you have him appearing to these gentlemen for 40 days. All times of testing and trying and kind of pushing their motives. And we're going to see in a minute that their motives weren't all right. Even at this point, after the 40 days, they still weren't right. Which is one thing that has to be corrected, even with in our day, and I'll get into that in just a second. But what did he speak to them about? The things pertaining to what? The kingdom of God. He did not speak to them pertaining to the things of the church, even though that's included. The church is a means to an end. This place here, as nice as it is, the building is fine, the facility is wonderful. You folks are here, but you know what? This whole thing that we do here, we should understand it to be one thing, and that's a means to an end, not the end in itself. Very easy to get caught up in buildings. I've been involved in the whole building thing. And they're wonderful and fine as far as they go, but they're a means to an end. And the end is obtaining the kingdom. Paul said, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, and I'll throw in buildings, but it is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Right? That's what the key is. The key is promoting a body, the body of Christ, and righteousness, peace, and joy reigning in that body, and being a witness of the power of God to change people's lives. Believe me, people aren't impressed with the buildings. They're impressed with you and me. Or they may be unimpressed. But the thing that's to impress people is not us. It's the presence and power of God that he wants to put upon our life that is evident to those in whom we come in contact with. How many of you have ever had somebody say to you, you're different, what's the deal? Or something to that effect. Anybody ever had that happen to them? It happens occasionally, yeah. And I know if they said that to you, then you were ready to tell them what it was. If I were to ask you 10 things that pertain to the kingdom, could you tell me them? Or could you tell somebody else if they ask you, brother, can you tell me 10 things that pertain to the kingdom of God? Would you sit there slack-jawed and not be able to talk? Or would you be able to say, I'm glad you asked that question, I'm very excited to tell you, and rattle off about 8-10 things pertaining to the kingdom of God? That's all he talked to them about for 40 days. The things pertaining to the kingdom of God, because that is what they were going to be about from that point on after they received this baptism of the Spirit. That's what we were going to be promoting, preaching on. And what did Jesus say about demons? Remember when he cast out a demon? I forget the chapter. I don't remember. But he said, if there are demons cast out among you, then what is present? If I'm casting out demons, then it's by the what? The power of God. The kingdom of God is present among you if demons are being cast out. Remember he said that? See, so that's one thing that pertains to the kingdom of God. Power over demonic spirits. The power to preach. The power to preach Jesus Christ. And to see the effects of that preaching. And we're going to look at that in just a minute, too. I don't know, I'm going to run out of time. Gosh, I got so much to say, and I'm limited in the time. When I had a church years ago, everybody got used to me, and they said, take your time. And I did. And we had a lot of fun. But I'll get as much in as I can, okay? I'll do the best I can. Being assembled together with them in verse 4, he told them, don't depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. See, they had 40 days of informational and spiritual preparation. The next 10 days was going to be intense spiritual preparation for what he wanted to impart to them. So he says, you wait for the promise of the Father, which he said you have heard from me. For John, he compares John. John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So the promise of the Father is the same as the baptism of the Spirit. Where is this promise of the Father found? It's found, well, actually, Peter quotes it in Acts chapter 2. So you want to, if you have a Bible available, we don't have that up here. Just listen. Couldn't put everything up here. It's too much. But when Peter, having been filled with the Spirit, baptized in the Spirit, he stands up with the 11. He lifted up his voice. He said, all of you, hearken to my words. He said, these are not drunken, because they were accusing them of being drunk, because they were acting like they were drunk. Oh, we don't get into that. That's too fanatical. Well, I don't know. Just how hungry are you for God? How hungry are you for his power, for his divine ability to be imbued upon you, be imbued with it? I don't know. He said, these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But listen to what he says. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And then he quotes Joel, and I just want you to hear this. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. I'm going to talk about that just a second. And I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. Now listen. And it shall come to pass that whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he goes into the message and explains who Jesus is and how he is the one they were looking for, but they killed him. Which is what eventually led to the conviction of their sin. Look what we did. What do we have to do about it? But listen to this, please. He says, I will pour out those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Peter said, this that you're witnessing is that which was spoken by him. It's happening in front of your eyes. So when Peter stood up, it said he was preaching, but in fact he was fulfilling what the prophet Joel prophesied. So therefore he was prophesying in his preaching. So this is what, and now is that limited to Peter? No, it says here on my handmaidens and on my servants, I mean the low type like you and me. He said they're going to have the Spirit poured on them too, and they're going to prophesy, which means what? They're going to preach. Some of you might be saying, I'm not a preacher. I'm going to say, yes, you are. All of God's people are called to be preachers. At some level or another, in some place or another, all of you, me, everybody, is called to be a preacher. You are called to communicate the gospel where you are and to whom you relate, whether it's family, where you work, where you go to shop, I don't know, wherever. You're called to do it. And you can do it because the Spirit of God when he comes upon you in power, will enable you to do so. That's not something you have to try to do. He will enable you to do it if you're willing to yield to him and let him do with you what he will. That's the key thing. You yield, you give it up, say whatever you want, I'll do it, it doesn't matter, I'm tired of the way I've been, I want something different, give it to me, I need you, I need your power, I need to know about this kingdom of God you're talking about too, Lord. And look what happens as a result of this, of them prophesying or preaching. He says at the end of the section here in 21, I know it's not up there, just listen. Sometimes we get so used to looking up here, we forget how to. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name, why are they going to call on the name of the Lord? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Who's going to call on the name of the Lord? Those who are the recipients of what? The preaching of the word of God. That's the only way they're going to call on the name of the Lord, is if they hear the preaching. How should they hear without preaching? Romans, it says. The preacher, it's actually the preaching. How should they hear without preaching? If nobody preaches, nobody hears, and then nobody gets what? It ain't going to happen unless you do it. You have a nice program going here. I like the card thing. It's cute. Pull the card out, have three steps. Last step is you invite them in. Well, guess what, brethren? Can I be honest? And God help me. You're never going to do that unless you have power from on high. And if you try to do it, it isn't going to work very well because you're not going to be very effective in your communication. So it's a nice idea. It's good. It's fine. But you need something more than just a card with three steps. Can I be so bold as to say that? You need more than that. All right. John the Baptist. Man, oh man. I wrote half a book on him with my dissertation. He was a transitional prophet from the Old Testament to the New Testament. I can't dwell on this too long. But you're going to read when John was ministering, it never says he prophesied, but he was a prophet. What did it say John always did? John what? Preached. He was transitional. It also says of Jonah in the Old Testament that he preached too. He didn't prophesy, but even though he was a prophet. But I won't get into that because that's over the purpose right now. John was a transitional prophet. He transitioned from the Old Testament to the New. He preached, and that is a carryover into New Testament prophets. They better be able to preach, and they better be able to exhort and communicate the word and move people, or they're not a prophet. I'm weary of this stuff where everybody's got a nice word to say over everybody. I want to hear a man who preaches the word with a conviction and is able to move people by the power of the Spirit. That's a prophet. God help us, we need more of them in our churches. Because I'm convinced more than ever before that people need to be moved. The old hymn says, I shall not be moved. Well, that's a shame. We need to be moved. So this John the Baptist was identifying people into the coming kingdom through his baptism, into the coming kingdom of the Messiah. And now when we get baptized in the Spirit now, guess what we're doing? We're being totally identified with his kingdom purpose in the earth because we're hungry for it and we want it and we want to be part of it. And therefore he said, you want to be part of this? I'm going to give you what you need to be part of it. And he'll baptize you with the Spirit and fill you with power. But you got to be hungry. How am I doing for time? I don't want to be rude and go over time. I really want to be, respectful here. How are we doing? What time do I have to be done? It's 9:05 now? How much time do I have? 15 minutes? Okay, 10 or 15. I'll move along. So we'll go to the next part here. Verse 6. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Is that what he was saying? They had something in mind. Let me just throw this out at you. And it's not up here, but Zechariah 12 talks about, I will pour out a spirit of grace and supplication on the nation, and then he's going to destroy their enemies, and the kingdom's going to be established. And maybe they had that in their mind when he's talking about the spirit coming and power and all this thing. They had those verses in mind in the Old Testament, maybe some other verses out of Isaiah. So they kind of had their own what in mind? They had their own agenda. They always talked about, oh, Lord, can I sit at your right hand? Can we do this? And they're always thinking about getting into this kingdom and wiping out the Romans. And Jesus said, it's not for you to know those times. Now, he didn't say they were wrong. There's coming a kingdom. And Jesus, when he returns here, is going to bring it with him. Not time for that yet. So their agenda had to be changed. They were good, but just the timing was off. He wasn't going to do that yet. So he's telling them, it's not for you to know those times. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to wait in the city until you be endued with power, and you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And then, this is what I want you to do. I want you to be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. What happens sometimes, brethren? You know what? The old copy machines, I know I'm getting older, but the old copy machines where you would run a copy through, and then you take the copy, and you make another copy of the copy, and you keep doing that. What eventually happens? It gets all faded out. God doesn't want you to copy. He doesn't want to make you a copy, and you try to copy something you think is the right thing. What he wants is reproduction. He wants to reproduce himself in you and me. That's what he wants. And when you reproduce something over and over again, it never loses its power or its intensity or its defining characteristics. So he wants to imbue you with his own spirit. He's called the Spirit of the Son. This is how he comes to his church again in one sense. He comes to them by his spirit. And instead of being with them physically on the outside, he's now with them spiritually on the inside. And instead of being led from the outside as they're following him around physically, now they're being led by him from the inside and going with him internally being led. And instead of him just conferring on them some power temporarily from the outside like he did in Luke chapter 10, I believe, now this power rises up from in them by his spirit and comes out of them themselves. Instead of being given to them, they actually have him residing in them, and as they abide in him and wait upon him and worship him, he fills them, and it comes out and affects everybody around them. So he said, we don't want copies, we want reproduction. I got to stress this one more time. He didn't give them, on the day they were baptized in the Spirit, he didn't give them soteria, or salvation. They already had that. He didn't give them dorema, which is gifts. He didn't give them exousia, which is authority, even though that was included. But he didn't stress those three things. What he stressed they needed was power. Is that true? He didn't say the other three. He mentioned that one. He said, when the Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power. Idunamis, which is a divine ability to do something that you could not do before. He enables you to do something that you could not do. And not only are you now able to do it, you're now able to do it effectively and powerfully, with life-changing results. Brethren, I have not arrived. I'm as hungry for this as I've ever been in my life. But he's done some things in me in the past weeks and months that are very real. He's doing the same thing with my sweetheart, with my wife. And Daniel, I've got to read this real quickly. My 10 minutes are about up. I saw in the night visions, Daniel said, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and there was given him a dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, languages should serve him, and dominion, and his dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. What is that? When did that happen? That happened on his ascension. When he left them on that Mount of Olives, he went up and the cloud took him out of their sight, and he went into the very presence of God, and he was glorified. And it's on the basis of him being glorified there that he received this promise and now pours it out upon whosoever will. You don't earn it, but you have to hunger for it. And he promises to give it. Hey, look, he said this too. If a son asks his father for a piece of bread or a piece of fish, what's the father going to do? Toss him a stone and say, here, kid, chew on this. He's not going to do that. So he said, if you, being evil, know how to give your children good gifts, then how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those that ask him? I looked at that verse for years, being Pentecostal background. Now I have a better understanding of what it means. It means if you ask him for the Spirit, he'll give them to you. If your heart's right and you're hungry after him and you want him more than anything else in your life, all you care about is doing the will of God and desiring him above all things, he will give you what you ask for. He will give the Holy Spirit to them that ask. So the second coming is predicted. So basically what he's telling them, when the angels, and they're gazing up into heaven, Jesus says, and they're gazing up into heaven, I'm just watching as the clouds receive him out of sight. Suddenly two angels appear and say, and I'm not being flippant with this, but basically they're saying, hey, guys, he's coming back. The same way you saw him go, he's coming back again. Now let's get about our Father's business. Get back to Jerusalem and start waiting upon him to give you what he said he will give you. Right? So they returned. And it says they, in verse 12, it says it names them. And then he says, these all continued. They persevered in prayer, in one accord, and supplication, deesis, a strong form of praying. Well, I don't know about you, brethren, but if I had Jesus appearing to me for 40 days talking about the kingdom and said, you're going to receive power, and this is what you're going to be doing, and you're going to go to the ends of the earth and preaching, I think I'd do some heavy praying too. Because, good grief, that's too big for me. I need help. And he promised to give me power to do this, so I'm going to stay here, and I'm going to lay hold of this thing, and I'm going to persevere with him, and I'm going to get what he promised. Because there's no going back now. We've gone too far with this thing to go back now. Now we got to pursue this thing. And this is my call to you, brethren. They were convinced. They sensed their need. They changed their agenda. I guess the kingdom's not coming right away. Something else has to intervene first for a while. And we're still in that day, aren't we? We're still in that day. The kingdom has not come yet. We're still in that time waiting for him to come. And he's coming. They changed the agenda. They changed what they thought was going to happen. They changed what they hoped would happen, what they wanted to happen. They had to lay it down and say, well, we got a different agenda now. Jesus knows what he's doing, and I want what he promised me, and we're going to continue here and persevere in this thing. We're not going to stop until we get it. Now, is that your hunger? Has he been moving on any of your hearts to this end? Have you been thinking in your mind, geez, there's got to be more to this? There was one time in my life I said, if this is all there is to the Christian thing, I got a hold of the wrong end of the stick. I'll be honest with you, really, this was a while ago. And I thought, what is this business? I was, oof. And I don't feel like that now. But if any of you have been hungry, you've been sensing there's more to this thing, and I know God is calling me to something, and hey, let's return to the second principle of the fourfold gospel. Let's get a hold of this one, because that's what it's all about. Power from on high to do his will. How many of you want to do his will? If I were to ask you to all stand, how many of you want to do God's will? None of you are going to stay seated, because you're going to say, oh, gosh, everybody's standing up. I better stand up, too. I don't want to be the only one sitting down. And they think I don't want to do God's will. So are you going to stand up? I don't want to do that. But if you're hungry, you can honestly say, I want this baptism of the Spirit. I want power from on high. I want him to fill my soul with his presence. And I want to overflow with his love. Because I honestly believe power and love are the same thing, it really, when it comes to this account. The love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost who was given unto us. Romans 5:5. Notice I said ghost. That's the old King James coming out of me. How many of you want this? How many of you have been hungry for this? Seriously. I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. But are you hungry for this? I'm going to ask you to do, if you're really hungry for this, and do not come up here if you're not prepared to come up here. I'm just going to ask you just to stand here for a few minutes. Maybe I'm taking a liberty I shouldn't take. I don't know. Just come up here and just stand here for a few minutes and say, Lord, I want this. And I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to push you down or anything. I'm not going to do anything to you. This is between you and God, but I just want you to make a profession before God and before your brethren that I want the fullness of the Spirit. I want the power of God. I need his divine ability to do what I need to do. I need this. Can you make a move and come up here? And while you're thinking about that just for a minute, I want you, maybe a little music could help or something, if somebody could help me out, just to, not there would be any dead air, just a little music. Just come up and before you and God, just say, Lord, I want you. I want your presence. I want your Spirit. I want this reality. I know it's for today. I know it's for your church. I know it's for me. And you're just gonna, whatever, brother, whatever you wanna do, it doesn't matter. How about Spirit of God descend upon my heart? Have you got that there? Hey, thank you. Because he said about the Spirit, that heaven sent Spirit descending upon me. That last line of the song, it was beautiful. I'm just gonna pray, and I'm gonna believe God to give you the desire of your heart. You're professing this desire. I'm going to believe he's going to give that to you. However he wants to do it, whenever. You go home, he may hit you at home. I don't know. Just going to sense his overwhelming presence in your life. I'm not telling you to expect anything. But he's going to honor your request. He's going to honor your hunger. He's going to give you what you want. So just reach out to him. So Father, I thank you for these that have come forward. They express a hunger, Lord, for you. And you promised if they ask for the Holy Spirit in this baptismal measure, just like Brother Simpson taught so many years ago, that you will honor that request and you will give them the desire of their heart. Oh, Lord, I thank you for this. I thank you for their evident hunger. Honor them, Lord. Bless them. Bless them. Bless us, Lord. Bless all in the seats and grow the hunger for you in our hearts, in their hearts, in all of our hearts. This day. In Jesus' name, amen.